Fourth and final hour of 3D on this Monday afternoon. Darren and Donick with you. One more hour. Should be joined by Sean McDonough here shortly. He'll be in the booth tonight with John Gruden because the Titans and the Colts will be doing battle Monday Night Football. Our question for tickets to go to Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night and see the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. Colin Wilson was selected 7th overall in the 2008 NHL draft. Where was 2008? Is it in Ottawa?
I don't remember, but I know I was on the floor of Bridgestone Arena. We had a big draft party for that one because the Predators had two first round
picks. It was in Ottawa.
It was in Ottawa. Okay. In Ottawa, Predators selected Colin Wilson, who will be in the house tomorrow night wearing an Avs jersey. Who was taken number one overall? Your answer? Steven Stamkos. He's turned out to be a pretty good player for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Drew Doughty went number two overall to the L.A. Kings. So that was your correct answer, Steven Stamkos. Congratulations, Jamar Perry. Jamar Perry was the lucky winner as the lines exploded. And Lamar had the correct answer of Steven Stamkos.
Avalanche were 4-2 to start the season.
It's early. This is exactly why we don't get too high and we don't get too low in an 82-game season. Because no one believes that Colorado is going to be there in the thick of things, right?
Well, but right now, if there's a time you don't want to play them, this is probably it. They're playing well, and they've got all their guys healthy. They do have some very talented players, just like every team in the league. It's a salary cap league. There's not that much difference between the top and the bottom, just like the NFL.
Willie, do you know when you don't want to play the Syracuse Orange in football? On Friday
last
night. On Friday night. You don't want to go into that place and play the Orange
the
on Friday
was
night.
Rocking.
Sean McDonough, our next guest, knows all about that. He knows you're just not going to walk into the Carrier Dome on a Friday night and push Syracuse around.
That's right. That was a fun watch for sure.
Where were you watching? Were you at home?
I was at home in Boston, kicking myself that I didn't go.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
Go up. You know, we have to be on site on Saturday, wherever our Monday night football game is, because we go watch the home team practice on Saturday. So the Friday night game was really the only Syracuse game I would have a chance to go to, and the athletic director had invited me up, and I was going to go, and you know what, it's a busy time of year, and a lot of stuff going on, and they're going to lose, so, you know, why go up there? And I was kicking myself for not going when I watched it on TV Friday night from our home in Boston.
23-point underdog, outright winner. Wow.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Cool.
They deserved it. It wasn't a fluke.
No, not at all.
Dabo Sweeney said Syracuse really did outplay him, and if you watch the game, you know, that really was true. They deserve to win.
No question about it. I saw the piece on you and your brothers on Real Sports on HBO. Pretty cool. Obviously, we all remember your father, but to see where you guys are today in the sports world, pretty neat. What did you think?
Well, I thought they did a great job. I was really flattered when they asked. You know, I've been an avid watcher of HBO Real Sports with Brian Gumbel for a long time, and always thought there was a reason why they won a lot of Emmys for sports journalism, because they do a great job. So, you know, when John Frankel approached me with the idea of doing it, we were flattered and honored more than anything else. And then I thought they did a great job on the piece. You know, my youngest brother is the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, and my other brother, Terry, is the vice president of player personnel for the Arizona Cardinals. And the thing that John found interesting when he first talked to me about doing the story was that each of us has a world championship ring. I have one from the Boston Red Sox when I was one of their announcers in 2004. Terry has one from when he was scouting for the Baltimore Ravens. And Ryan has one from when he was the assistant GM of the Boston Celtics. So, you know, three brothers with a world championship ring in different sports, he thought that was the hook. And then that never even got in the piece. That was kind of the genesis for the whole thing. But I thought they did a great job. And they're really nice people. You know, our family just really enjoyed interacting with John and with Barrett Remack, the producer, and all of their technicians. They were really, really nice people.
Yeah, I learned in the interview, Sean, that your brother Terry, very quiet, reserved, and humble. There's no doubt. When he asked the question, why do you think we're doing, you know, how'd you guys get these jobs? Because we're damn good. That's why.
Yeah. I don't know if he said damn, but he definitely said we're good. And, yeah, Terry, I was glad, you know, the HBO audience got a real sense of Terry. You know, the three of us are all quite different. You know, Ryan is kind of the most quiet and reserved, and that came through, I think, in the piece. And we're all emotional. I mean, we kind of joked with each other about who would cry the most, and I think I cried the most, but I'm not sure that made it on the air. But I did ask the producer when they interviewed us all individually, did I cry more than the other two? Or, but, you know, it was very emotional talking about them and talking about our dad. And, you know, I know how proud he is and would be of Terry and Ryan and what they've accomplished. And, you know, I sure as heck am too.
We now that you're in your second year in the booth with John Gruden, calling Monday Night Football games, you're here in our city, Titans and Colts tonight. How long, and you've done so many, you know, sports, and I'm not going to ask you, what's your favorite sport? Because I know the answer. It's like asking, what's your favorite kid? I get it. So I'm not going to ask that question. But how long did it take to, you know, it's about chemistry in the booth and to mesh. And was it an easy transition for you guys to form the relationship and to kind of see the product that we get today?
You know, in all honesty, I don't think it was easy. I thought it really took till toward the end of last season where I started to feel comfortable. You know, I was really the only new person. I mean, we had a couple of new people in the truck in various positions, but you know, most of this Monday Night Football production and technical crew has been together for a long time. So, you know, I was accustomed to working with the same people in college football and college basketball and had their way of doing things, our way of doing things. And then, you know, this was significantly different in many ways. And John, as you guys know, is a unique character. It took some time to get used to, you know, his tempo and what he likes and what he doesn't like and how he wants to prepare and, you know, what he wants to get into on the air, what he doesn't want to get into. So, you know, I thought we kind of found a nice rhythm toward the end of last year, and I think this year has been infinitely better. You know, people said some things about chemistry last year, and I was like, you know, we've done five games together. It'd be nice to have a little bit of time to establish a little understanding of how it's going to work. But I think we have, and you know, I think this year's been really comfortable, and I think the listeners, viewers are probably seeing that as well.
Sean McDonough on the line with us. Before I flip this to Willie, Sean, Derek Mason is a part of our show every day. He's out today. I would have left this question for him because you were on the mic for the Michigan State crazy finish a couple of years ago. And I would have left that question for him. How nuts was calling that ending to that game with the botched punt?
Oh, it was crazy. You know, I mean, you can sit there and anticipate a lot of things. You know, I think most of the time you're calling games, you're trying to be aware of all the possible things that might happen. But, you know, that was a very hard thing to see coming. And, you know, it was one of the wildest, most dramatic endings of a big college football game ever, you know, and I think my call just reflected the astonishment. I didn't mean to scream like a 12-year-old, but but that's just sort of what came out. You know, in this job, you have to do it live, and you don't get a chance to do it over again, and hopefully your call reflects the moment and the significance of it, in that case, the craziness of it. So I was a little embarrassed at the time that I squeaked and squealed, but, you know, as they replay it the last couple of years, you know, I think it matched the moment, so I'm fine with it.
Sean McDonough is with us in town to call the Monday Night Football game tonight, Titans at Colts over at Nissan Stadium. Sean, I guess we're getting nostalgic here, but I want to ask you one, again, long-ranging question about your career. My father-in-law was the baseball coach at Dartmouth in the mid-'80s when you were doing the weekly Ivy League Game of the Week back then when you were right out of college, so he can go way back. He noticed you very early, and of course, I've married into a total Red Sox family, so they have watched a lot of you. But you're a guy that you've been around for a long time, and you jumped in. You did the World Series when you were very young in the early 1990s, and you've sort of stayed consistent to doing a lot of different things. But just your background and where you learned how to do play-by-play, the versatility that you've shown, I think, is very interesting, and you've been able to go wherever the opportunity has taken you. So where were the roots? Where did you learn how to do play-by-play and how to maybe do it in a lot of different sports?
Well, you know, I appreciate the question because you know, I enjoy the versatility. I probably enjoy doing football more than anything else. You know, I know we kind of touched on that a little bit ago, but what I always really wanted to do when I got in this was do all the sports. I grew up wanting to do this because I loved sports. You know, when it was baseball season, I was totally immersed in that, and basketball, hockey, football, whatever it was. So I didn't start out necessarily with my goal to be involved in any particular sport. You know, being around my dad, who was a longtime sports writer for the Boston Globe, you know, we went to spring training for the Red Sox when I was a kid, I mean, a very young kid. And he couldn't take me into the press box, but the Red Sox radio announcers could say who could sit in their booth and who couldn't. So my dad was able to stash us in there, stash me, really. I was the only one old enough to go to the park, and I was probably 5 or 6 years old at the time. But I remember watching them thinking, wow, what they do is kind of cool and looks like a lot of fun. So I got a tape recorder, and literally 6 or 7 years old, they told this story on the HBO thing. You know, sat in front of the TV and just announced everything I could possibly watch as a sporting event off the TV. And knew from that age that this is what I wanted to do. Went to Syracuse to learn more on how to do it, and because they had a great reputation for producing sports broadcasters. And, you know, you kind of develop your own style as you go. Well, listen to the tapes, watch the tapes, try to figure out what's good and what's not, and, you know, respond accordingly. But I've been blessed. I've been blessed every day of my life. But, you know, to have this as my occupation for all these years, you know, knowing since I was 5 or 6 years old, it's what I always wanted to do, I feel enormously blessed.
Well, let's fast forward to tonight and get your angle on what you're looking at tonight. It's, from the Titans' perspective, a vital game, trying to get back in the division race. The division looks so winnable right now, but this is one that they really need. And I guess we'll start with the obvious, the uncertainty of Marcus Mariota. It looks like he's going to give it a go, but the question will be, you know, how effective will he be? How's he feeling?
Yeah, I think he will give it a go. You know, I was very impressed by him. I'd heard so much about him. Scott Frost, who was his offensive coordinator at Oregon, now the head coach at Central Florida, is a really good friend of mine. And Scott doesn't throw compliments around lightly, and he's just always raved about what an impressive guy Marcus is, in addition to his obvious football talent. And, you know, the character really comes through when you sit there and talk with him, you know, in a very humble way. He's just a very impressive guy. So looking forward to watching him play in person for the first time. I don't think he'll be able to do what he usually does. I don't think he'll be anywhere near as mobile as he usually is, but he's going to go out there and give it a try. You know, we had the same thing last week, and I hope the same thing doesn't happen. You know, Sam Bradford was questionable with a knee injury. He went out there and tried to gut it out and clearly wasn't very effective and wound up being replaced. So I'm hoping that that doesn't happen to Marcus tonight. But as you said, you know, it's an important game for both teams. I think this division is winnable for any of these four teams. And, you know, starting into the year, I know John Gruden really liked the Titans, and I did too, based on what they did last year and who they had coming back and some of the additions to the roster. So, you know, they need to get it going. And, you know, less than 200 yards of offense the last 2 weeks, regardless of who the quarterback is obviously not going to get it done.
How hard in this league is it to try to predict 1 week to the next? It's so tough when you think one team's on a roll and they're going to get it all figured out and take control of their division. You see something like what you saw last night with the 0-5 Giants winning, and there's so many games you can circle that remind you of that. The Dolphins, who looked awful at beating the Titans last week, they go ahead and win in Atlanta, coming down 17 points, coming back and winning. You just can't figure this league out, can you?
No, you can't, you know, and I guess it's always had some unpredictability, but it seems to be more this year than I can ever remember. I mean, we were joking last week about, you know, the Patriots and the Jets had the same record. Before the season started, a lot of people were saying, you know, the Patriots might not lose a game and the Jets might not win a game and they're probably tanking. So that they went into that game yesterday, both 3-2, is amazing as well. So you never know. You know, I don't think this game would be a surprise tonight if it went either way, because I think they're relatively evenly matched. I do agree with what you guys are saying. You know, it's a game that the Titans should win, you know, at home. Hopefully they have a healthy quarterback. Andrew Luck not playing. Jacoby Brissett's done a really good job of learning on the fly and giving them the chance to win the couple of games that they've won. But I think there are a lot of matchups tonight, a lot of circumstances in this game that favor the Titans, and it's really one they should win.
Sean McDonough is with us. Sean, one more. Me being a play-by-play guy for the Predators, we experience this a lot with the replay challenges in hockey. And you brought up the Patriots-Jets game. That made me think of it. you had a controversial call that was called a touchdown on the field that was overturned that went against the Jets. And it seems to me nowadays, when you're really slowing it down here, it gets cut so fine sometimes. But you, as the announcer, along with John Gruden, you've got to interpret it. You've got, I guess, now referees with experience in this that you can lean on sometimes. But that's got to be a tough thing for you guys in the moment to try to discuss and point out all the little things that they're looking for.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't even know. You know, it does help to have Jerry Austin in our booth. And we yield to him because obviously his knowledge of the rules and the replay process is much more extensive than ours. And it's just nice to have somebody there who has that expertise because I don't want to make a mistake on the rules or officiating matters. So he's there. But, you know, I wouldn't care if replay went away completely as an officiating tool. It's almost gotten to the point now where it's so intrusive, the delays are so long. You have a situation like you just mentioned in that Patriot-Jet game yesterday where, you know, replay is supposed to, was when it brought in, was supposed to correct obvious glaring errors. You know, now they're finding microscopic errors that don't even appear to be obvious to anybody, or they're making mistakes in their calls with the replay. Yeah, like in the case of the Jets yesterday, I mean, I think any football fan who watched that would just say, that's a touchdown. You know, so when you get to the point where you feel like you're getting victimized by bad calls as part of the officiating process, rather than having them correcting obvious bad calls, then maybe it's time to rethink the whole thing. You know, I wouldn't mind if it just went away and we got back to the old human error. Okay, bad call, bad break, part of the game, let's move on.
And let's scream on Sports Talk Radio the next day about it. That's how it works.
Yeah, exactly right. But I mean, I just think it's, you know, the officiating part of the replay part of the officiating, it's just gone way far what it was intended to when it started out. You know, to be there to correct obvious, egregious mistakes, not, you know, get into the minutia of that play that you mentioned. And a lot of like that, you know, we see over and over again every week. It drives John crazy. John Gruden, you know, just can't stand the lengthy delays as they grind through these replays.
I believe we've had the hottest month of October in the history of our city. Unfortunately, that's not going to be in play tonight. So for that, we apologize, but we do thank you for joining us.
No, I like the cool temperatures. Okay. You know, we don't need to sweat to death on HD television, so it's fine. Weather's been mostly good here all weekend. I'm actually going to go for my pregame run here when we hang up and go see your beautiful city, but we're sure excited to be here. You know, this is one of the hot cities in America, maybe the hottest, and it's fun to come here. It must be fun to do those Predator games, too. I love hockey and enjoyed watching the playoffs last year, and you know, I would love to see a game here sometime because the atmosphere just seems to be, you know, well beyond what is the norm around the NHL.
Well, let us know if you're in town for a game ever.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah,
make
I actually looked at the schedule and was disappointed. I think they played at Chicago Saturday night.
On Saturday, yeah. Here,
but, yep. Yeah, I would love to see a game. If we come back, I'll take you up on that because I love hockey. And as I said, it was captivating to watch the atmosphere on TV for those playoff games during the great run last year.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really good to talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a blessed day. Thanks for having me.
You do the same. Sean McDonough, he'll be in the booth tonight with John Gruden on ESPN as the Titans and Colts will indeed kick off tonight at 7:30. And should be a lot of fun. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll come back with more of 3D next.